Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is old friend Dan Armstrong. Dan and I are going to talk about Pierre Sauerbach's critical work, his latest book, Alien Invasion. And we encourage you, dear listeners and viewers, to go to Pierre Sauerbach's website. He has pay-per-view, not pay-per-view, subscriptions for some of these documentaries that he put together, and it's quite a deal. You pay, a nominal fee, and then you get to watch some of these documentaries for several days running, and you get a lot out of it. So what we're going to do here, we're going to talk about how Pierre Sauerbach has pieced together all this information from the ancient texts in a variety of languages, showing that there was already a coherent conceptual framework with the which the ancients use and how they regarded these what we would now call ETs or interdimensionals, whatever the case may be, and the fact that they had an actual understanding of these beings. They had names for them. They have names for the craft. They had names for just about everything. They had a nomenclature down. So we're going to dive right into that. Without any further ado, Dan Armstrong, welcome back to the Cosmos Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James. I'm super excited about this topic too. And I'll be honest, I think the videos are a great way, like I was saying to you, because reading the books are awesome. They're very dense though, so sometimes it's hard to know like what's important. And so those videos, I think, break it down really nice. There's a lot of great graphics and information tables to follow along easily.
Yeah, why don't you take off from the start and kind of
Sure.
prep our viewers and listeners of what's going on?
Okay. So as I continue with it, like I think maybe like take a few steps back because there's just so much to cover here, right? But what we're looking at is nowadays we talk about things like the paranormal and we look at it, okay, that's outside of the normal. It's not considered part of the conventional reality experience. So there's things that we agree are part of reality. And then there's things that basically, if we look at the paranormal officially, those things are not considered part of our reality, right? So in philosophy, there's an area of thinking called ontology, and it's sort of like a way of being able to describe how the world works. And it sounds up like a pretty ambitious thing, but philosophers do stuff like that. And there's a way that we can explain our phenomena. So basically, what I've been saying is like what Pierre's doing is trying to build a new framework, a new ontology, so that we can actually incorporate the paranormal, not as just freak experiences, but have a way of logically and systematically understanding it that's grounded in science and knowledge that we do have. Right. So I was going to say, as we started it off, there is a quote that he has from Johnny Mack actually saying just that at the end of the one chapter. And I'm just going to like do the short version here of it. But he was basically saying, in short, I was dealing with a phenomenon that could not be explained psychiatrically, yet was not simply possible within the framework of the Western scientific worldview. Okay. My choices were either to stretch and twist psychology beyond reasonable limits, overlooking aspects of the phenomena that couldn't be explained psychologically, such as physical findings, the occurrence of small children, even infants, and the association with UFOs, with an explanation working in Western scientific ideology. And he said, he had to open to the possibility that our consensus framework, what we agree is regular reality, is too limited, and that phenomena such as this cannot be explained within its, and there's the word ontological parameters. Okay, so Johnny Mack's aware of this, right? This is a quote from 1995. In other words, a new scientific paradigm might be necessary in order to understand what's going on. And so I think that's a good place to start in understanding why are we bothering with this? Like, what's it about? Beyond like the parts that are interesting, there's a reason behind it.
One of the fascinating parts of the documentary was Pierre Sabbag went into detail, and we can go in any direction, go, talk about the stuff he referred to prior to this segment or after, whatever the case may be. But it really sticks out to me, the reference to Zechariah chapter 5, I think it was about 3 or 4 verses, where, and it's important to remember that the scribes at the time, they wrote in, I'm guessing, the language of the vernacular, how people spoke at that time. And when you listen to Pierre Sabbag break down the experience and the discourse that Zechariah had with these other beings, and the way that he shows that certain terms, phrases, nouns all relate back to spinning wheels, ophanim wheels, the concept of celestial vessels, celestial boats piloted by angelic sailors. Scaphology was the term he coined to describe the study of such. What he's clearly describing, and Pierre brilliantly breaks this down, is Zechariah has an encounter with a craft, and then he goes on to say that eventually what happens is, based on the text that he studied in various languages, the ancients, the high priests, the scribes, what have you, they actually were tasked by these ETs, what we would now call ETs, to house and store some of these craft. So often we hear about legacy programs, crash retrieval programs, the likelihood by this point of, and we know it's a fact, of an ongoing interaction between non-human life forms and humans, especially humans in the government. And here is Zechariah and other scribes in ancient times talking about the exact same thing, except in their case, it doesn't seem to have been something that was hidden beneath layers and layers and layers of secrecy and deception. We've talked in the past about how, in the old days, in all likelihood, and it seems to be reinforced by Pierre's writing, analysis of all this, that the gods, if you will, these ETs, they walked amongst humans. They presided over humans. You can see clearly in some of these reliefs and engravings, these normal-sized humans waiting hand and foot on like a giant ET or what they regarded as a god. So your thoughts on any of that? You can talk about what he talked about before Zechariah, but I thought that that part about Zechariah and also the burning bush, Mount Sinai, how all that relates to actually craft. So please take it any which way you want.
Just to break it down and zoom out again for people to see what he's doing. His big contention is looking at it, like you say, he calls it scaphology. So it's the study of these boats and their sailors, these angelic sailors. And so, we think of angels, we're looking at it in a different conception, okay, from what he's talking about. In his terms, it would probably be accurate to call them angelians, right? So angels and aliens, so of this type of way. Anyway, so he breaks it down. You have religion, mythology, ufology. So he's showing how they parallel each other and are actually the same discourse. So that's really key to look at, like you said. So the prophets are talking about their experiences, Moses with the burning bush, etc. Again, there's a play, there's a way that it's encoded, it's a way that it's keeping hidden. Right. So they're doing these word puns and hints that the scholars will understand and have the cipher to decode. Think about a decoder ring or something like this. They got the decoder ring. Nobody else has it. So in the talking, he talks about why, if you look at the word bush in this language, like in the ancient Hebrew, and then you see this, you start to see the interrelationship of the words is actually talking, you're not talking about a burning bush. You're talking about the experience with a UFO, and he's explaining why and how that's encoded. And not just in Hebrew, but in the other languages as well. So these things carry across. There's a universal structure that is happening. And that's part of the alien colonization. So that's sort of important to remember too, because we're looking at all these things. So ship, like we look at the words like worship, and he ties it in like how the cathedral is designed as a ship, and that the audience, the lay, are at the on the nave, and they are, you know, celebrating this deity that's being worshipped, right? And then how the classical mythology, like we're talking about Zeus and, you know, the Titanomachy and everything else that's happened in classical literature, the Romans and the Greeks talking about things. That there's these, you know, like Diogenes is supposed to be a philosopher that lived in a barrel in the street of Athens. Like, here's the thing. And this is what's interesting about it. See, we still have this problem today, though. We take the symbolic as literal, right? And vice versa. So, like, when we say he lived in a barrel, he didn't live in a barrel. He's explaining, and he breaks down the whole thing with Diogenes to say, no, this is talking about one of these hybrids at minimum, or like demigod people. And this was his philosophy, and this is why, and this is what it's actually pertaining to. So all of these ships, and we think about it today, we have friendship, like the governance of our mind, what governs our mind is language. So a big part about what he's talking about, if we get into the angelic invasion part and this part related to ontology, is that there is a universal structure to language. And then there's this layer of where things go bad called grammar. Anyway, he's talking about, like, so there these ideas, there is a universal ideas of sorts that's going between the languages. So we're actually, in other words, because our thoughts are language, it is elementary, like it's the mind control, right? If your language is going to, on a deep unconscious level, guide your actions. And if you look at it, that's what like the religion is doing, that's what mythology is doing, and ufology is just people seeing today talking about what's actually been something that's continuous throughout history, right? So I don't know. I liked what you were saying there with Zachariah, and that I think it's really interesting about the prophets. And what I wanted to add is, in some strange way, James, like, you know, a lot of the people who are my labs in this type of thing, not just because they've been involved with the military, but usually because technically they do have these experiences with ETs, these Angelians. Those people, if you, you know, I was Mormon before I went to the early morning seminary, so I know all, I've read all the Bible and all of that thoroughly. And you look at the lives of prophets, they're not easy, right? Like the prophets, like being chosen by God was not a fun thing to do, right? All these people, Abraham, look at all these stories, like it's just miserable lives to have this access. But I'm not trying to say people are prophets, but there's something very similar in terms of, and these angels, if you look at the term angelos, it means like a messenger. Right. And one thing that's interesting, I don't know about you with your experiences with ETs, but I've had the Angelians, I've had these experiences where sometimes some information is being conveyed to me. There is a message. And it's not like, oh, the cliche stuff like clean up the planet or something. They're like, there's a like a deep wisdom that's being conveyed. And I think, and that is unique, and it's considered quite an honor in some ways that these beings have communication with us, right? So I just sort of like framing it, because a lot of people that they'll look at ancient aliens and then it's just like it's so over the top and pop culture that it's just easy to dismiss if people bring up this topic normally, because they think, oh yeah, that guy, everything's aliens, right? Haha, you know that meme with that guy with the hair and everything. But there's something quite serious here when you start to look at all the tables of the languages and the words, and you start to realize actually all of this is part of our the control system. And you can see how ancient it is. I guess that's just to sort of zoom out and back in again.
Pierre points out that even in terms of weights and measurements, the misinterpretation, if you will, of you just pointed it out to your point about how the symbolic is taken as literal, etc. Like Moses set adrift in a basket, a woven basket.
Right.
But he
yes.
breaks down what basket meant to the ancients that had that deciphering ring that you're talking about. That they know that within the language itself, embedded within the language, were quite detailed descriptions of the beings, the craft. They even had terms, designations for the size of the craft, units of measurement to describe their size and their shape, right? It was Zechariah again, I think, who said that, behold, I looked up and I saw a roll. Now, he wasn't talking about a breakfast roll. Now, when he said that, I immediately thought, okay, he's describing something cylindrical or something cigar-shaped, which many of us are familiar. I've seen them myself. And it turns out, as I'm watching this documentary, it's exactly what Pierre breaks down, that he's seeing some kind of cylindrical craft in the sky, which starts a dialogue with him, i.e. a telepathic transmission directly into his mind, and he begins talking to this being, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then when you look at some of the work that Sitchin's done, and I know Sitchin was kind of a controversial so-called in our field, and personally, I didn't like the guy, but I give credit where credit's due. If you come across the book, The Lost Book of Enki, in that book, at the outset, he talks about how this scribe was summoned by some high priest. Enki wants to see you. And then he's basically, if memory serves, he's either flown or he's taken somehow in some conveyance to go see Enki. And then Enki tasks him with, transcribing all of these thoughts of Enki's. Basically an apologia, a justification for unleashing global biological warfare or something, right? But a point being is that there was a language at work. And as you pointed out, the language determines our character, our psychology. And this is why instead of, like as in the past, when you read the quite erudite, articulate letters of people only so many generations ago compared to what it is today, where a lot of people are functionally illiterate. They write in text speak, so to speak, right? LOL, et cetera, et cetera. You can see instead of progressing forward, we're going backwards. And that's a deliberate manipulation of the masses just to completely dumb them down, right? So the language
absolutely
is embedded.
And that's why they got rid of things like Latin and Greek in schools, like learning the relationship of English to those languages, because we just understanding basic etymology, we start to unpack and see historical things going on. We can see so much going on. It's like it's a record of how the language is mutated, right? It's very important.
Well, he also
you can't play mind tricks on people when they understand the meanings of words. You can't do sophistry. You can't get away with political rhetoric in the same way when people understand words and the relationship to, and if it's a Greek word or a Roman, that also means this concept in philosophy or whatever. It's a totally much more robust system of thinking. Like we're not just talking about unnecessary flowery language. We're talking about a precision language.
Yes.
So that instead of saying, roots, you know what I mean, and blah, 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 and boop, 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 we can actually get into finer analysis. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you look at his work. The documentary in question is The Cog or something, blah, 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 Cog. Yeah. And The Cog refers to, conjure up a mental image of a cog with grooves around the edge, and that represents these craft, these celestial boats, these celestial vessels. And so, like I said earlier, the weights and measurements are part are embedded into this language about the angelic sailors, the banking system. There's a lot of people have spoken in the
Oh,
past about the
absolutely.
Babylonian bankster system. Well, that's what the reading around the coins represents, the grooves around the edge of the coins. That think of like an American dime, for example. That once again refers to these craft, right? So even
Yes.
in the currency, in the language, in the weights and measurements, and if you zoom out and you look at weights and measurements, didn't anyone ever think it's unusual that we reside in what's been described as a sexagesimal civilization or society? Time is broken down by 60 seconds. 60 seconds make up a minute. 60 minutes make up an hour, right? 12 hours in the morning, 12 hours in the evening. The precise difference in distance between the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun. That whole number six kind of paradigm is embedded in numerology and embedded in our languages. So that's just one
And
example.
computers,
And computers.
hexadecimal.
Yes.
Hexadecimal is the binary code system that's written in specifically in sixes, right?
Yes. So everything in
And then
our
the hex is
system.
the six, and this relates to things too, like the beehive. And there's it all goes together, right? So
Yes.
nothing new under the sun is what's interesting. We think we're so detached from the past, like, oh, people in the past were just completely like off their rocker. They didn't know what they're talking. No, they're talking about, they're using poetry. They don't have the words. So they created visual. They're not always describing things literally, too. Sometimes they're describing it literally, and sometimes they're talking about things symbolically. And being able to know which is which makes a big difference. This is how you can have the secrets in plain sight. We have it in our language. Like a simple way of going back to the language is homonyms, right? So
Yes.
people are aware, like, so you can have a word that's spelled differently, it means completely different ideas, but you say it exactly the same way. So,
Yes.
and so there's, but then we trick people on that. And actually there's a that there's deeper meanings about what's happening. I mean, that's what a lot of that Jordan Maxwell stuff and that before was talking about when he's talking about, the banking system is on the banks of a river and you have the river is, you got your currency and
Yes.
understanding this is the flow and so on and so forth. So the other way of looking at this is like, it's almost like an operating system of something in computer that's, think about a very symbolic art operating system, right? So if I'm an ET, I can look at this and I can see exactly, I know how to decode the operating system. So I'm like, oh, yes. And I can follow going along, even though it's this other place, because it's following this operating system. And I think that's where it gets really interesting. Like you're saying, like, so the coins have different weights, and the weights meaning sort of different denominations. So it's different size of craft. So they understood that there was multiple sizes of craft. They weren't just dealing with one. And I've done in some of my own studies, and we won't do it today. It's too much to unpack. But I've been testing, as I've shown you before, like we did the stuff on the Parabiago plate and the Brandenburg gate, and I've done further explorations, and I've done one even using the same framework. Once you understand it about the wheels and the cherubim and the seraphim as the different types of angelians and so on and so forth, and the symbolic motifs that go with it. I unpacked a Lenny Kravitz video from the 90s, basically showing through Pierre's thing that his video is actually talking about him being, I call it the ecstatic rapture of Lenny Kravitz space Jesus, because he's talking about himself being Jesus. And yet you start looking in the video and there's like a whole UFO beam up and everything else going on when you decode the things. I don't think he was thinking that at the time. In other words, I think there's something very interesting in the subconscious of the human psyche where these things come out without people even consciously constructing them.
Well,
Because this is
that's
part of the language and how the language generates our reality,
yes.
because it's part of this subconscious.
And that's where the twain meets, as far as the weights and measurements, the descriptions of wheels, gears in the sky, baskets, woven baskets. Now we have a framework. If you look at it from the, for example, the Renaissance artwork perspective, wherein so many of these nativity type scenes depicted in Renaissance art almost invariably depict some kind of aerial phenomena involving these cogs, wheels, ophanim, celestial boats, etc. Right? So, and that is confounding and confronting for a lot of fundamentalist Christians. Shouldn't be, because I'm a Christian and it doesn't bother me. Like when I'm in a church service, I'm not going to split hairs and the sermon is going on and the Lord said, well, I'm not going to say, well, wait a minute, the Lord refers to, you know, the captain of an alien vessel, right? I mean, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. No, I'm going to receive the message in the spirit with which it was intended. I'm not going to sit there and split hairs and what have you, right? Because that's not why I'm there for, right? I'm there to be at some level spiritually fed. And I have still the freedom to interpret these sermons any which way I want, right? So,
and it's still, honestly, it's very important to understand the mythology and to understand the stories from the religion. One of the worst things that we've done in schools is getting religion out of schools. It's like, how do you get religion out of schools? Like when I remember even being in the fourth grade, we're reading King James Bible. We're not even reading some translated, updated English version, King James version, you know? And, but this is so important because the entire basis of the culture is still based on it, whether or not you go to church or not.
Yes.
The legal system, the financial system, all of it, ideas of statistics. It's so pertinent. And to not have that knowledge base is a massive disservice to understanding who and where you are in history.
Yes. And if you look at the malign influence, yet again, of the cultural Marxism, which is so anti-Christian, anti-religion, and that mindset permeates all society, including the so-called truther community, where if you start bringing up any of these issues, if any of it even tangentially comes in contact with Christianity, just, you know, all the defenses and you know, the claws and the fangs come out. And like Evie Lorgan pointed out to me in a recent message, you know, the way some of these people, they go overboard on the esoteric side of things, right? And they're ready to argue with you. Oh, you don't really know what, you know, spiritualism or Blavatsky was all about. Evie said, it's like they read Manly P. Hall like a chapter or two, and they think they know everything, right? And so when you mention like Christianity or you mention Catholicism or what have you, it elicits this virulent
reaction
out of them, which is, I mean, like, do people think that?
But that's a programming in itself, is what people don't realize.
It's a program. It is.
They think they're leaving a program. They're going into a new program. It's a reactionary program, and it comes from the ego mind, right?
It
is. They're wanting to show off and say, "I am superior."
Yes.
Rather than there isn't the humility.
Yes.
Knowledge, wise people are humble.
Yes.
They'll take in everything. And anything, even the myths and that, it doesn't matter. There's multiple levels everything works.
Yes.
You can watch the same movie. It could even be Hollywood trash. And you could be a highbrow person and get one level of enjoyment out of it from another person who's looking at it another way and another person. It doesn't need this universal, like there's one correct doctrine. I mean, this is the fascism in their epistemology, actually.
Yes, the dogmas, the very dogmas they decry in organized religion are what they adhere to in their everyday discourse, in their everyday mode of thinking, right? Could you imagine Jordan Maxwell just, at times, because he knew, you know, the playbook and he knew the language, at times, did he rail at organized religion, organized Christianity? Yes, but he was making a point. He wasn't doing it.
And
just,
he wasn't against it, though. He said,
he wasn't against it.
Believed in the New Testament and that.
Yes.
And he was just saying, look, the organized religion is my issue. There's so much corruption.
Yes.
They've manipulated the stories so that you totally don't understand the meanings of the stories. That's why he's talking about the astrotheology. He's not trying to say the stories aren't pertinent. He's trying
Yes.
to elevate the level of the story so that you're
Yes.
not just getting the Joe Sixpack version,
Yes.
which is the exoteric religion. And he's trying to say, look, it's a compliment. Manly P. Hall again, it's a
It's a
compliment
compliment.
to
Yes.
Christianity,
Yes.
etc., etc. I mean, if there's one reason for me to be open-minded about Freemasonry, and that's a subject I have, some strong emotional relationship to, but is that he was a Freemason and he looked at it from a completely different angle. So
Yes.
people just want to be like, they're automatic evil bad guys. Even he mentioned Manly P. Hall, therefore he's of the devil, and
Yes.
you just throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. And these people are actually the very learned scholars that come from a tradition in that they know way better than to behave and say things in that way. So
Yes.
yeah, I
Yeah,
agree with you. There's a lot to learn from the religion and the mythology, and you can never finish learning it all, right? Like I like it since doing this, like I do follow-up. I follow like rabbis. Some of the best information comes from the rabbis, though. They have some really good, because they do this whole thing where they talk a lot about the scriptures, right? There is a very scholarly study of the scriptures. This is what this guy thought it was. This is what this rabbi thought it was. And there's schools of thought about the scriptures based off of different thinkers, right? So,
That's
I don't know.
exactly Pierre Sabbach's approach, because he's quoting from the Quran. He's
Yeah,
pointing out
exactly.
specific parts of the Quran where it reinforces and validates his findings from the other languages about the celestial
Absolutely.
vessels, about the celestial sailors, about their
And you can
interactions.
see where it was edited in our versions of the story. And
Yes.
then you can get you and then you, it's like you're getting the pickup parts from the Quran that are filling in parts of the story that were obfuscated from our version.
Yes.
And then you start piecing them all together and you're like, oh, they're being pretty actually very clear about what's going on here, right? Like
Yes.
he said, like with the Quran, he shows, and it's not just like it's one little quote and he's taking it for the, for everything it's worth. It's consistent. And, but, showing the thing about the recreation of man, a genetically engineered version,
Yes.
right? From
Yes.
the drop of sperm, and showing the scripture in the Quran, literally saying that. And then saying, literally, and then Allah is praising himself as being the Lord of Sirius,
Yes,
right?
yes.
So, like, and right, so it's not like we know where this being is from.
Yes.
We know how this relates to all these things. And then, and then showing the rest of the relations that this isn't just a one-off thing. There's multiple, there's a forensic level of confirmation from
Yes.
the pattern detection that you build up by seeing all the different data points. It's the way to look at it, right? So I think it's great for people of faith, people not of faith, but it gives us, we like it gets us out of this ridiculous SSP space drama
Oh
stuff
my
that
God,
is just, like
yeah.
thank God we have something meaningful that we can sink our teeth into, and that's why I've made it so much of my thing to just work on this.
Well, the irony is, we talk so much nowadays about, and we know it's real, the ongoing interaction between deep black elements of the military, government, aerospace industry, etc., with aliens, for lack of a better term. And here in these various ancient texts, using the understanding and study of etymology, linguistic roots, etc., Pierre Sabbach is conclusively proven, to my satisfaction at least, that this interaction between non-human beings and humans essentially serving these non-human beings, probably not too dissimilar to what's going on today, right, goes back to the dawn of time. So it pushes back this whole concept of even that hated term, secret space program, right? It pushes back that whole concept into ancient times. That and then when you and then when you go to some of the other cultures, the Rig Veda, the Vedic text in India, They're talking about the Vimanas, and they're talking about interacting with the different Hindu gods, what have you. These blue-skinned beings that flew around. They had battles in the atmosphere with other highly advanced beings. They had a specific craft that flew only in the atmosphere. They had specific craft that were interplanetary craft, right? And you know, Dr. Richard Thompson, I don't even know if he's a doctor, but I thought of him as a doctor, but Richard Thompson, who I met once and had a great conversation with, he breaks that all down in his work, because he read Sanskrit and he studied the ancient Vedic text. So point of relevance is it's a direct parallel to the work that Pierre has done. What Pierre has done is shown that there is a coherent framework. It didn't start with Roswell. It didn't start with Corey Good. Okay.
No.
This had been embedded in the language, exemplified by Admiralty Law, if you ask me, because Admiralty
Absolutely.
Law, in our understanding of it now, thanks to Pierre and your work on this, Admiralty Law refers to celestial maritime law, like the Lord of the Vessels, these alien pilots and crews who basically lorded it over humanity. That's where this all comes from. And Jordan Maxwell had a lot to say about Admiralty Law also.
Absolutely. And if you see too, and then people are like, oh, that came from the colonial period, blah, 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 blah. But again, examine the colonial period. There's so much we could learn about colonialism, about what happened to us as a species a yes. long time ago. And actually to show how some of these hybrids continued the campaign. It's not like it just happened one point in the past. It continuously renews itself through extended war. And I'm convinced of these people like Alexander the Great, because when you continue to look at the linguistic roots in that, Alexander the Great, I mean, look at him, the conquering, the way that the conquering occurred. If you start to realize this is probably somebody who was at least a hybrid.
Yes.
He was part of a secret tradition. I mean, for crying out loud, who is his Aristotle is his tutor. You know what I mean? So there's clearly a tradition. And I've looked at even figures like even colonial figures like Queen Victoria, like the Victorian era, the Victorian colonialism is telling you a lot. And the relation to the locals, the indigenous people, and the colonial thing, it's the same. It's like this, it's this trauma that's reenacting, that's fractal in nature, that repeats and morphs, but it still has an underlying mechanisms that are similar. There's things that we can glean from these historical accounts to understand how we've been treated, how we've been colonized as a species as well.
Yes, because as above, so below, what some of these spacefaring beings have done, gone from world to world, planet to planet, colonize them, hybridize the inhabitants of said planets, and foisted upon them all these religions, dogmas, weights and measurements, etc., probably unique to that particular star system, I'm guessing, as far as the weights and measurements and astronomy that they taught. But then you look at what's happening in our world with the colonialism, which was absolutely brilliant, a point you made, because what was the impetus behind the colonialism? Was it simply for a mercantilism? Was it simply to make money? Was it simply to exploit? There was some kind of driving force that prompted and pushed these hybridized ruling classes who created these corporations, the East India Trading Company, the Hudson Bay Trading Company, the South African Trading Company, so on and so forth, right? And then how it, very similar today, or is it the government or the corporations that call the shots? Is it a case of the tail
the land of – has the law of the sea subsumed and taken over the law of the land?
Yes.
Is another way to think about it too.
Yes,
right? Because absolutely. Again, we do have our natural human rights from the creator. So it's not to say all is bad, but it's to understand what's happening. When you understand things like money is debt, debt is water, and you understand this makes us understand the deluge over again, you know, like the flooding of the earth. Like now the days, the earth is being flooded by debt.
Yes.
And these are metaphysical chains that these aliens have created to extract human life essence, right? This is like Jupiter ascending, because it, through the tax system, and they understand how to build these synthetic codes. I mean, it takes over our lives, right? Your life is just a mathematical equation. It's not like it costs this much money to buy a house. They look at how much of your life force they want to take from you in order
Yes.
to secure something as basic as a house.
Yes. If you're in the
This
workaday
is how it
world,
works.
if you're in the workaday world, you're trading hours for dollars, essentially. It's like X number of hours of my life in a given day, given week, given month are given over to labor in order to return, to get a return in the form of income, right? So instead of like these elitists out there just exploiting these existing income streams, which they create essentially, this whole monetized debt system, we, the bottom end of the stick, right? We've got to, trade hours for dollars.
You have payday loans.
We
The
have
bottom
payday
end of the
loans.
stick is doing payday loans with
Yes.
rates of interest that are beyond criminal.
Yes, yes.
This is it.
Which is exactly why, and there's a term that's been bandied about in the recent past, linguistic minimalization. We touched on this earlier. If someone has a low IQ and they speak, at best 40 words maximum, and, most of those are repetitive thought loops, same cuss words over and over for the most part, right? But if they only have a limited amount of words, how can they possibly grasp
you can't.
how they're being exploited by this system? And this is why I've never liked the term NPC, because that denotes someone who is not an active participant. I disagree. An NPC is there to reinforce and entrench the system even further, right?
Yeah, they're part of the entrainment, so that
Yes.
you go along with them, that you convert yourself to become them, is the system, right? So they get you in all their little games. Oh, James, the conversation's amazing. Thank you. Like just getting it there in my head again, there's this weird thing. Like there's this whole thing about finance, right? It's understanding it's a metaphysical system. This is something that manipulates space and time, right? You
Yes.
commit in the now to take on a debt that you will pay. You have no idea of the consequence, because this is the future. You're selling your future for today, and then you have to service it. It structures your future, right? You don't
Absolutely.
understand the implication. These kids are taking on 100K in student debt, have no concept when they're 17, 18 years old what they're doing.
Yes, and
but it's structuring their future.
And all they get
Right.
in return is cultural Marxist garbage, which is going to influence their behavior and their destiny. And if you look at it from the tax manipulation, you break it down further. Someone has to work X number of months just to pay off their tax debt for a given fiscal year. And then only after that do they start to actually earn money for themselves,
Well,
right?
it's designed, and I'm sure you could actually find that the cost of college, it's no different if you look at this stuff, like go back to the Dust Bowl in the 30s. But it's interesting. There's this great economist here in Canada. I love him. He talked about it. It's like what they did was that the banks convinced the small scale family farmers to expand their production by introducing the mechanization. They could have larger farms. But you see, what the bankers calculated, they knew that they take on a loan to get a larger farm and get the equipment. They knew in order for the farmer to pay back the money, right, they calculated exactly how much yield you would get. And they knew that crop failure was inevitable, like on a period of once every 7 or 10 years or something. I think that's why there's that biblical number about seven, because it's quite common that you have a massive crop failure once every 7 years. But the point is that they did this predatory move to acquire mass amounts of land. This is what the Depression was. It was converting all that equity from the people, the multiple generations of people who worked for that land, and then funneled it out and gave it to the banks, right? And so there, it's just like this accounting fraud, basically, is what it comes down to again and again. And if you look at accounting, it goes back to like reality too, right? Like ontology is about how do you account for reality?
Yes.
You see, I call accounting the grammar of finance. It's the area people don't look at. That's where all the funny business occurs. People just look at the end result.
Yes.
But any accountant will tell you it's all the funny business that explains your result that
Yes.
makes more of a difference. And this is what's done on a similar level with our reality. We focus on the end result without looking at the process that is contaminated, that's doing all the shenanigans, right? Like these people, they can't, like this same guy who tells us stuff about finance. I don't mean to get away from Pierre, but I think it's all complimentary. He basically says, look, the grammar, you don't understand. He's also an expert in grammar and stuff. He's like, do you know they're changing the tense of the word from verb to adjective to noun, and it's the same word, but it's just written in a different way in your mortgage application? Like he's a real expert on mortgages and all the fraud that's committed in that, all the language of it. But the point is that, again, like to your point, without the conceptual basis, without the training of the mind to be able to see these types of things, people are behind. And like you said before, too, you look at, say, the 19th century, 19th century America, especially late 19th century, like in the 1800s, 1870s, whatever, all the language is at a very high level. People
Yes.
knew, smart people knew you had to be intelligent vocabularly. And they also, Americans were good about understanding their rights. They understood legal concepts well, right? And so understanding language and law really made it so that you were safe and protected. That's how you had your freedom. Freedom wasn't just something with a shotgun. It was, that's why they had the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible on the mantle of every family home, because
Yes.
it was your basic library of understanding the language and the law.
Well, they used to have a rule that in many European countries that you can only vote if you were like a landed person, you know, with
Absolutely,
property,
yeah.
what have you. And,
Yeah.
you know, some could look at that, especially through a present day lens, as, oh, well, that's inherently racist, blah, 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 quack, quack, quack.
Or
But,
elitist, yeah.
or elitist, but with property, property rights, landed property, there comes intelligence. And if you look at what's going on today, you see these wholly unqualified people, and setting aside all these immigrants being brought in specifically to vote Democrat, but just look at the people who've been dumbed down by this cultural Marxist educational system. It's, they have no right to vote, because
Absolutely.
Everything that they believe or have been indoctrinated to believe in is driven, there's a high emotional content to it. There's no substance. It's only these cliches and these sound bites of racism, of
privilege. They
privilege.
couldn't, let's put it this way. They couldn't pass a basic civics exam,
No,
right?
no
Like if you
way.
actually had an exam based on how does the government function that
Yes.
you have the power to elect,
Yes.
they would have no clue.
No.
They wouldn't understand. Like say in our system, you don't vote for a prime minister.
Yeah. No.
Like they confuse it with the American system. Like people don't have any concept. People will say my rights, and you're like, okay, which one?
Yes.
Can you tell me, like, in the Charter of Rights or whatever, where that falls? No. Well, do you know that actually that's an American right? That's not a Canadian one? Like, people don't know anything.
No, no, they
And
don't.
that's exactly where they want them, right?
Exactly. And there used to be a time where, you know, before women's suffrage, before women had the right to vote, women were regarded as being overly emotional in some cases, right? And, unable to grasp a lot of these concepts. Well, if you look now at these liberal woke women, their whole mindset, their belief system is so ruinous to its core, right? Which then extends out in the society to
It's about
civilization.
as bad as their parenting philosophy.
Exactly, which is basically to abort, basically to abort your newborns, right? That's how twisted and demented it is. So
Or
what you
this permissive parenting nonsense. right?
Oh,
Like
yes.
they take the same, what my point is, they take the same approach to thinking how you should vote in government. It's like these people are terribly unqualified. If you have that same kind of sentiment, if you
Yes.
would be that same type of liberal, right? Because they'll be like, oh, this is the way it should happen. They don't understand anything about reality. They don't understand financial literacy. Like, my big problem is, I think people should understand what $1 billion can buy
Yes.
before we start talking about budgets. And even when people, like, here you get like this low level conservatism, you know, let's complain about how expensive the prime minister's lunch or vacation was, not
Yes.
understanding the amount of interest charged daily on the public debt and how
Yes.
that's going to the private banks and how much more money that is than all the. They could spend money on handbags all they want and all this stuff. It's a pittance compared to
Yes.
the level of corporate crime occurring,
Yes.
and they're just oblivious to it,
Yes.
you know.
It's further clouding the issue, and the means to which the issues, the key issues, like you just pointed out, are being clouded is through these repetitive, low IQ cliches that you just mentioned. Okay, they're going to be splitting hairs about some political junket taking a private jet somewhere just to go party somewhere when the whole system is designed to implode upon itself. And a lot of times when I hear these podcasters and pundits talking, I see an example where they can't see the forest for the trees. Well, all this the war in Iran and Ukraine, what have you, is meant to destabilize and disrupt the economies of Russia and China. Yeah, I can see that, but they're not zoomed out enough.
That's one aspect,
That's one
though. This
aspect
is
of
the
it.
problem with these people. They
Yeah,
think it's the whole reason every
it's
time. It's
not
like
the whole
that's just
reason.
one
That's one
part of it.
aspect. That's a key component
It's
of it, to
one.
be sure. But it's the whole planet. It's the whole planet that's going to be plunged into a global depression, right? That's to round out this first segment, we've been hearing that term ontological a lot in the recent past. Thank you for bringing it up. You have these people like Ross Coulthart, don't get me started on him, right? Talking about how the revelation of the existence of alien life here on planet Earth would be like such an ontological shock for the human race. Well, it wouldn't be if they took the time to study Pierre Sauvage's work
Absolutely.
and to see how the ancients dealt with it, to be sure we're not just talking about, although I'm sure that these contacts between the gods, ETs, if you will, interacted with the peasantry. I'm sure that happened all the time. But who did they generally work through? They worked through a civic
Institutions.
institution, civic administrations, bureaucracies, which they, the gods, the aliens, had created, right? Through this manipulation and utilization of language. Right. So when people plug into Pierre's work and they see that the ancients were already interacting on a daily basis with these beings on the surface of the earth, not on some deep underground base somewhere. Right. And the fact that Pierre pointed out that a lot of these temples were set up to house these artifacts, to house the alien craft and technology. And what did we have? Right at the outset of the second annihilation of Iraq, we had all these tomb raiders types go sneak into Iraq, loot all these museums, all these curio shops, go to all these digs and excavation sites and loot everything that they could get their hands on. I would suggest that, and there's no way I can be certain of this 100%. But chances are, I've always likened Pierre Sauvage to like a Dr. Daniel Jackson type, a real life version of that. Chances are there are Pierre Sauvage types embedded within the deep black government who know
Oh,
exactly
no, you know.
where to send teams to find these artifacts and to read the same
Well,
way.
even and the people who can read them.
Yes.
I'll tell you, and I this may, you know, it's a bit much for the first half, but I mean, part of my MyLab experiences include doing just that, like reading the text and explaining it to military brass because they can't read it.
Yeah.
They've gathered things, they have information, like that one of the problems that people don't realize is the government is like, it's all over the place. It's not monolithic in the way people like to think, in the same way. Like the different branches of the military are in competition with each other, in competition with intelligence agencies, which are in competition with each other. They all have different factions with different beings and different races and this and that. And they actually are surprisingly behind the ball on a lot of it.
Yes.
Because the ones who do have better relationships really hoard that knowledge.
Yes.
And there's even sectors, because the in my experience that I was doing it for, it seemed to me Air Force. And they had a big book presented to me with all this stuff. And they're like, this is what we gathered. Help us understand it. Like, we're behind. And I was explaining that. And I think, you know, like you said before, we're trained in different ways. And I think some of us have different skills. And so it's a lot more, again, than this, just the super soldier, like you're out there, like
Starship
always
Trooper
as
kind of thing.
the GI infantry. That's part of it.
Yes.
I think you're utilized on many levels. But there's levels as well where people who have talents for alien languages, communication, contact,
Yes.
etc., they are sought over for those reasons as well.
That was what I was trying to put forth at the Full Disclosure Now conference. It's, you know, the symbol language that so many of us have this embedded within us at a soul level, right?
Yeah.
You know, why don't we
Exactly.
use these psychic investigative techniques, hypnosis, whatever the case may be, to remember what these symbols are? It's one thing to just draw them endlessly, right? It's another thing to actually decrypt that symbol language to gain
and it's
better
complex,
understanding.
right? Because their symbols, when they but in their writing systems, it's extremely dense. So if you're like, oh, but it's hard to read Pierre, guess what? You expect to be as intelligent as ancient creatures. Human intelligence. Of course it's difficult. It's not going to be easy. You have to be as sophisticated as they are. Dumbing humans down is probably the main thing besides the dissociation from the heart, like you say. Dumbing them down and disconnecting from the heart. If you got those two things, you know, they'll ignore their gut, they'll ignore everything, and you got them all.
They'll just march off the end, edge of the cliff in unison. Well, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, Dan Armstrong. Dan, would you like to give your contact information, or if you'd rather prefer,
sure,
have them,
people
you know,
can
go through me?
Contact me through you. Like, you know, it's maybe a bit much for you. It's simple. Just
I have no
send
qualms
it
about
to
that.
My, oh, okay. But just send it to mrdanielarmstrong2@gmail.com. That's my more generic one, so I don't mind if it goes out on the general internet. And you know, I'm just telling people, James, like I don't care about praise or anything anymore. I'm looking for collaborators, you know, like yourself. That's why it's so exciting when we can talk, because this is what we need to be doing. And we've really, honestly, guys, just scratched the surface, but we're talking about the implication about why the work is worth the study. You know, save yourself time, stop watching Gaia, crack down, watch some of those pay-per-view. It's like £5 to watch one of them. It's, you know, you get it for a few days. It's really worth it, and it's just much better. And my point is just to finally, one last thing here, James, is to let people know it will help you understand your own experiences. If you're an experiencer yourself, you're going to have a framework to work through, and something that can be more articulate. It's not getting caught into these captured narratives that are propagated by who knows what.
Yes.
And that's one thing I really want to lay out to people who are serious experiencers. You will have enough drive to understand the material, because your experiences usually drives you to the point where you can be capable of being someone like Pierre and writing this, or being someone that can understand and relate to it.
And I'll get more into this in the second half, because who we were in some of our past incarnations, we would know more if it wasn't thanks or no thanks to the Council of Nicaea 325 AD, right? Where they, you know, just kicked to the curb the whole doctrine of reincarnation. But point of relevance is, some of you listening were scribes in past incarnations. Some of you were viziers. Some of you were high priests or high priestesses. You would have interacted with these non-human intelligences, life forms, in the exact same way that Pierre Sabbat is talking about, which is why I went to great length to talk about this in at the Full Disclosure Now conference. We got to get a better grasp of who we are and how we factor into this, going back to the Orion Wars, if not before, and fast forward to the future to make relevance and sense of it, not the present. Yeah, but the present, right, presages the future, of course. If we don't know our past, then how can we understand the present? How can we even make sense of what's coming down the pike? So anyhow, reached the end of a fascinating first segment with old friend Dan Armstrong. If you like what we do, if you believe what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member. And please, due to the shadow banning, my astral dreamscape manipulation commentary, people can't even leave comments on it, okay?
So I noticed comments were turned off on your last two videos.
And when I go in, because I hold them, you know, to screen out all the, you know, vituperative hate mail and nasty grams, right? But it's not even accepting any held messages, right? So I go in there and I click on held and there's nothing there, right? Which is completely odd because it's a subject, the astral dreamscape manipulation aspect of it, which is near and dear to a lot of us, quite frankly. So anyhow, we've reached the end of the first segment. We'll see you at the top of the next segment.